fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We're recapping Sunday's action.
Let's go.
Now, here's Adam, Eve, and Chris.
You know, last week, Jordan Howard was a little dinged up. Maybe he would play in the following week. Maybe not. He said he was fine. We didn't have a lot of injuries, and I kept on saying that throughout the week. So, yeah, I take some responsibility. Oh, a rough day for the injuries on Sunday, but this is the Monday show, and we're in a good mood, aren't we? I'm in a good mood. You guys?
Thanks for the health bonanza, Adam.
Yeah, I know. How was your weekend?
Fine. It was outstanding. I saw a great movie that I'd never seen before, and I went to a new location. Took my wife out for our anniversary to a place we'd never been before. So
I thought you already. I thought you had an anniversary like.
I feel like I had like six anniversaries this year.
I'm pretty sure just one.
Okay. Just this one?
Yeah, just this one.
What movie you did you watch?
The name of the movie.
Oh, it must have been great.
Defiance.
Oh, I wanted to see that. It's good?
It is outstanding.
Okay.
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Very, very good. You wouldn't like it, Chris.
Chris, how about you? Everything good?
Yeah, I thought everything was fine.
Okay, well, I just was checking on you because, you know, I care about you and I worry about you and I value your opinion.
You okay?
I have two recommendations, real quick. Started watching The Night Of. It's very good.
We got a new sponsor?
No, we don't. It's not a sponsor, but a new good show. I know people want another recommendation because Stranger Things was so good. The Night Of is very good. And if you're looking for a date night with the lady or the gentleman... The Edge of 17 wasn't bad. Enjoyed it on Friday. Went to the movies.
I want to go see that. I've heard it's very good.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a nice little movie. Nice little coming of age story. Now, let's talk football. The weather was wreaking havoc a little bit. Actually forced teams to go for it on fourth down a lot yesterday, and it worked out pretty darn well. So, you know, my least favorite strategy worked really well. But the Bears-Giants game, Steelers-Browns, Green Bay-Washington, Patriots, Niners, Dolphins, Rams. Those were the five games that I thought of that were affected either by wind or by rain. Not sure if there were any more, but it was somewhat of a lackluster fantasy day. And then we had the Sunday night shootout. But I hate starting with the big news, but we got to start with the big news. We got to start with the Bengals. AJ Green could be out for the season with a hamstring injury. Giovanni Bernard tore his ACL. All right, what happens now? Go.
Good night, Andy Dalton.
Yeah, that's probably the case. I mean, the last time Andy Dalton played without A.J. Green, I believe A.J. Green missed three games in 2014. He had another one where he, I think, barely played. He averaged 12.4 fantasy points per game in those four games. So,
and he had better receivers then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mohamed Sanu had two 100-yard games. So there were four games that Green completely missed. One of them was a postseason game. He missed with a concussion. And Dalton had two terrible games, one great game, and one okay game. And he was like 21 of 28, about 260 yards, no touchdowns, and a pick. And Sanu had two 100-yard games, actually two games with 120 or more yards. So I understand dropping Andy Dalton, but somebody's going to have to get some production. We saw Tyler Boyd tie a career high in targets yesterday. Is that the guy you're picking up? And also, no Geo, so there are more targets to go around. Or maybe more carries for Jeremy Hill. Who benefits from this?
Tyler Boyd will be the most popular ad and has the most upside. If you were going to ask me who's going to score the most fantasy points of all the Cincinnati receivers the rest of the year, I'd say it's probably Brandon LaFell. It's just not exciting.
Yeah, that might be true, but I feel like if Brandon LaFell scores the most fantasy points of any Cincinnati wide receiver, it's probably not enough to be too helpful in fantasy, so I'd still rather chase the upside of Tyler Boyd.
So that'll be a topic for the Waiver Wire show tomorrow. Jeremy Hill, do you think his value changes? Does it go up, down, or the same?
I mean, it has to go up just a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, you're telling me as bad as he's been so far this year, they're going to put eight in the box and he's going to start being better? I doubt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Giovanni Bernard out for the year with the ACL, so that means probably more carries for Hill, but also look at the schedule. It's actually at Baltimore is going to be tough. Philadelphia at home. Philadelphia is really bad in road games. And then at Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and at Houston. I'm not sure the schedule really matters. Baltimore, by the way, in week 17.
But he's going to be startable number two running back.
Yeah. Okay. Now, LeSean McCoy left in the second quarter with a dislocated thumb. He is, right now, they say, expected. He's going to have thumb surgery, but expected to play in week 12.
The Bills say they expect him to play in week 12, but they also didn't think they publicly didn't think Sammy Watkins' injury was a big deal. They didn't think LeSean McCoy's hamstring was a big enough deal to cost him much time earlier in the season. I'm not buying he's expected to play in week 12. They've been very publicly optimistic about their injuries this season.
Okay. Okay. Good point. And Gillis Lee would obviously be the guy to own there. And he has shown that he can step in and do a pretty good job. Now we look at the Eagles. Ryan Matthews sprained MCL reportedly. He left in the second quarter early on in the second quarter. Darren Sproles left in the second quarter as well with injured ribs. You guys have a take on the Eagles backfield right now as they get set to host the battered Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, Wendell Smallwood's worth a look. I would put him behind Mike Gillisley if I'm looking to make a waiver ahead.
I think I'd put him ahead of Gillisley just for a couple reasons. One, if Matthews or Sproles, either one, misses the game, then Smallwood's going to have a big role because they're going to use two backs. And I think I have more... I don't really expect McCoy to miss very much time with a dislocated thumb.
Ryan Matthews has played this season, but there have been games where he's had like three or four touches in like eight or nine snaps, and Smallwood hasn't played all that much. If Sproles is healthy, they seem to feel pretty comfortable just letting him play the majority of the snaps. You know, they did that twice in a row, 80% of the snaps.
We've seen three different games where he's gotten at least 13 carries.
Well, Heath,
yes.
If you have both McCoy and, well, I guess all three, McCoy, Matthews, and Sproles are all out, and it's a backup running back week. Who are you going to like more, Gillis Lee against Jacksonville or Smallwood? Kenyon Barner, by the way, still in the mix against Green Bay.
I mean, it's probably Gillis Lee, but Jacksonville's run defense isn't terrible, and Green Bay's has just gone to complete crap.
Well, Green Bay lost a lot of players last night, and they actually did a pretty good job for the first three quarters in that game. And they got some more injuries.
It was the one long run for Rob Kelly for the most part.
Yeah, I think he was probably around 3 yards per carry other than that. And it really just it coincided with, I have all the injuries written down here for Green Bay, but it was their linebacker Blake Martinez, cornerback Dimitri Goodson, safety Kentrell Bryce. They lost an offensive lineman, Don Barclay, who was already back in for another offensive line. So the Packers are a mess. That is a Monday night game. Maybe they have some time to get healthy. But both could be options. We didn't really have those types of options in week 11. We're going to have some backup running back options in week 12, it seems. And Thomas Rawls, if you own Thomas Rawls, okay, guys, buy or sell Thomas Rawls, top 12 quarterback now, because CJ Procise might miss the rest of the regular season. Thomas Rawls, top 12 rest of season.
Yeah, he'd be right in that range.
Buy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you rather have Rawls or Fat Rob?
I'd probably... That one's tough.
Look at Fat Rob's schedule, Rob Kelly. It's not that easy.
Well, we didn't think last night was that easy.
No, we didn't. I think Dallas on Thursday is going to be fine. At Arizona, at Philadelphia... and at Philadelphia, Philadelphia is probably the biggest home road defense. You know, they're great at home, terrible on the road. Carolina, and then you get at Chicago in week 16. But yeah. I mean, 20 carries every game, it doesn't matter all that much.
I think Rawls' schedule is worse.
It's worse?
I think at Tampa, Carolina, at Green Bay, Los Angeles, and Arizona.
Well, yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
I'll go with Fat Rob.
I'll take Kelly.
Okay, Fat Rob it is. He apparently, I didn't see this, he apparently introduced himself as Fat Rob last night on Sunday Night Football.
All right. I guess it's catching on.
I watched the game, but I did not notice that. If you want to stash some players, Amir Abdullah could return in a few weeks. I'm not sure you have to, but he could return. But Sammy Watkins, according to Buffalo linebacker Preston Brown, could come back this week. So I hope you already stashed him. Meanwhile, T.J. Yeldon left with an ankle injury, and Chris Ivory had a lot of catches yesterday. So,
I think Sammy Watkins is eligible to come back this week. I would feel more confident in LeSean McCoy playing than Watkins. Watkins has done nothing yet.
Okay. Miami offensive lineman Laremy Tunsil left in the second quarter with a shoulder injury. More on that in a second. Zach Miller out for the season with a foot injury, and he was having a really good game against the Giants. Okay, now, what do you think? Does Cameron Meredith stand to benefit from this? Marquise Wilson? Are these guys that you're interested in?
Wilson would be my favorite.
I think Cameron Meredith has a chance, but I think both of those guys are worth picking up and stashing, but I'd be surprised if either one's startable. That offense is pretty bad.
Vontaze Burfict, he got hurt in the first quarter, then he came back and he gave, I put in the notes, Chris Towers the finger. I don't know why,
It was kind of like a guy that looked like me?
No, he just gave, I don't know, he gave the finger to somebody and I was like, God, is that Chris?
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, like
Chris is the most likely of us to have someone in the NFL.
Disagree. Disagree.
You think it's me?
Yeah, I think it's you.
Okay.
I think it's you. Also Doug Baldwin gave the finger to his offensive coordinator. That was actually kind of funny. They called that pass play for him, that gadget play, and he gave the finger to the sideline because he wants to catch touchdowns, not throw them.
That we can talk about that later, but that was a great play.
It was really cool. Cody Kessler could be out for the season. Giants coming to town to face the Browns this week, the 0-10 Browns. Ben Roethlisberger is now tied for the most wins at Cleveland's First Energy Field, which opened in 1999. He has as many wins as Eddie Brown's quarterback, so that's kind of funny. And 11 missed extra points, and not all of them weather-related yesterday. 11 missed extra points. You know what's the most amazing thing about that to me? That before we had the extra points backed up to the 25, that we actually had a week with 10 missed field goals.
Extra points.
Missed extra points. They're not at the 25. They're at the 15, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That we actually had a week with 10 back in the 80s. That's wild.
It's not that surprising. Kickers used to be really bad.
Kickers are still really bad. There's no reason to have them in football. Ban kickers.
Get out of here.
Just get rid of them.
Teams should just go for two more off.
There should be no kicking whatsoever.
I hope that's the outcome of this.
All kicking should be a 10-yard penalty.
If teams went for two, it would definitely be better. More exciting for fantasy,
like,
that's for sure.
Kick the ball or whether you kick a person?
If you kick the ball, it's a 10-yard penalty. If you kick a person, it's a 15-yard penalty.
Okay. All right, guys. The email address is fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. We'll go through the leaders. We're going to talk about Kirk Cousins. And what did he say yesterday to his GM? Was he yelling? How you like me now?
Yeah.
That's his new thing. Let's see, who else? Rashad Jennings is relevant. Pierre Garçon. Basically everybody in the Packers-Redskins game. Jared Cook. And our thoughts on every game. But right now it's time for a segment that could not be any less similar to Buy or Sell. It is called True or False. True or False. Now with Laremy Tunsil banged up. 3 offensive linemen. Who knows how many they'll have this upcoming week?
Presumably 5.
Well, 3 of their starting 5, you know what I meant. True or false, Jay Ajayi is touchdown dependent.
As much as any non-super elite tier running back is, I would say.
I will say that this is false for week 12 and true for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, it is San Francisco this upcoming week, so that's good.
Yeah, the schedule's really tough.
He must start this week and then borderline number 2 running back the rest of the way if his line doesn't get healthy.
If they don't get healthy.
At Baltimore, Arizona, at New York, the Jets, and at Buffalo.
Yeah. Now, if they get healthy, then everything should be fine. But he does face some of the best run defenses in the NFL in weeks. That would be 13, 14, and 15. True or false, let's stick with the Dolphins. Devontae Parker will have a stronger finish than Rishard Matthews. Both these guys, 75% owned, kind of breaking out right now. True or false, Parker, stronger finish than Rishard Matthews?
I would say false. Devontae Parker had not had a good game before that last drive. He had an exceptional final drive, including the touchdown, but I would say Matthews.
I will say Parker, partially because Matthews has a bye. Still.
Okay.
And then he plays the Broncos, which is like another bye. So, yeah, I'll say Devontae Parker is quite a bit better.
They love Devontae Parker. They love his potential.
Yeah, they didn't love him very much early in the year.
It took him 14th overall.
Yeah, I mean, they said he had been kind of inconsistent in his preparation, and now he's, you know, much more consistent. He's growing up, he's maturing.
And we talked about this with Christian Michael last week. I just always wonder, like, sometimes when guys figure it out and mature, it's because they really figured it out and matured, and they're just, they don't have those issues again. Sometimes they get their act together for 3 or 4 weeks, and then they forget and go back to who they are, really.
Yeah, but he's also been battling hamstring injuries all year, Parker.
I would say when we've seen Devontae Parker healthy in his career, it's been pretty great.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's really something here. And I think the offensive line will also play a role. Now, you can make the case that a banged-up offensive line is better for the passing game. But, yeah, I'm not sure, guys. I think, well, first of all, I'm just going to say, if Parker were available in any of my leagues, I don't know if he is. I don't think he is. I'm getting him.
Yeah.
And then he might be a guy you want to start a lot. So they have San Francisco this week at Baltimore, Arizona. That could be rough. At the Jets, at Buffalo. It looks pretty good for him. And then New England week 17. True or false, neither James White nor Deion Lewis will be reliable fantasy starters.
False.
One of them will be.
Yeah.
But good luck guessing which one it is. So I guess that makes it true. Because, like, reliable means they do it regularly. I don't think there's one of them that's going to be good week in and week out. Or predictably. And I don't think you're going to be able to tell which one of them is going to be better or when the change. I wrote about this today. My thought is I don't want to start White because eventually Lewis is going to take the job. And I don't want to start Lewis because I don't know how long it's going to take for him to take the job.
Right. But there is that theory that most people seem to have that eventually he's going to get the job.
Right. We've got 5 weeks left. I don't know how you could say reliable yet. When's it going to happen?
Yeah.
It could be as soon as next week. I think it's encouraging, or it could not be. I think it's encouraging that he got 5 carries, and that's, you know, they hadn't really been doing that with James White. And I just want to read something from MassLive.com. Kevin Duffy from MassLive.com. He said, as the Pats move toward the playoffs, Lewis will likely see his role grow. Lewis and Blunt played 5 full games together in 2015, and Lewis outsnapped Blunt in each one.
Yeah.
My editorial here, I think you guys probably agree, things are a little bit different. Blunt is having an amazing year. I don't know that that's going to happen.
But Lewis was last on the team in running back snaps, but he still played 21 this week. So
I think what I was going to say is I think he's going to start out snapping James White.
Yes.
This week?
I mean,
sure, sure.
Just watching them, like, James White isn't bad, but Deion Lewis just looks so much better.
He's very good. And he says he's healthy. They all said he looked very good.
So we're starting Deion Lewis this week.
Well, you know what? Maybe it's not this week, Heath, but I think I get it. You want to see it first. I think that's the right approach. I'm wondering by this is week 12 in the fantasy season. By week 14, for your fantasy playoffs, Deion Lewis, is he going to be a reliable, dependable starter?
I would, if I had to guess, I would say yes, but I would say that everyone, including probably Deion Lewis, is guessing.
Okay. Okay, and a couple more true or false. True or false, Spencer Ware is no longer a must-start running back.
It's hard for me. In the league I have him in, it's really hard for me to envision ever sitting him. It's kind of surprising. I didn't realize he only has 3 touchdowns this season. That's a little surprising given how good he's been. But no, I think I'll probably be starting him every week.
Probably. I wouldn't call him must-start. Because it's conceivable that you could definitely have 2 to 3 running backs that are better. But
right.
Probably you're starting.
All right, and finally, true or false, Aaron Rodgers' upcoming schedule should concern fantasy owners. And this is a guy with 5 straight games with 29 or more fantasy points. But here's what he's looking at Philadelphia, and they have been quarterback slayers at home, is a Monday nighter. Houston. Jury's still out, but they currently give up the 4th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. Seattle, or that was going into the week anyway. Seattle at home, and then at Chicago is going to be, you know, probably fine. And then Minnesota in week 16, at Detroit in week 17. At Philadelphia, Houston and Seattle at home, at Chicago, home against Minnesota, which a team he struggled against. Aaron Rodgers' future schedule should concern fantasy owners, true or false?
I'm going to say false. Unless he's going to stop throwing the ball 40-plus times a game, I don't see any ways he's going to be bad. But I was looking this morning to see where Kaepernick ranked since he became a starter, and that's since week 6. And in that time frame, Aaron Rodgers is the pretty clear number one quarterback.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Are they going to have an offense or a running game by then?
Nope.
No.
Kristen Michael Truthers might believe so, but I don't.
Okay, well, I think last night was really great for fantasy owners. The bottom line is if Rodgers keeps throwing this much and they can't run, he should be all good. And if you want to go to a football game, now's the time, or a concert, or a basketball game, or whatever, and you want to save $20 on your first ticket purchase, use SeatGeek. Download the app right now. Use our offer code FFT to get that $20 rebate. I use SeatGeek every time I need tickets now. It takes what used to be a complicated process and makes it so easy. If you search for an event on SeatGeek, SeatGeek does all the work for you. Pulls in tickets from multiple ticket sites, shows you all of the deals. This is how you know you're getting the lowest prices, and you can shop with confidence on SeatGeek. Every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by their 100% guarantee. So this is the best way, the easiest way, and the most cost-efficient way to buy tickets. And our listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter the promo code FFT. The promo code is FFT. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code FFT. Let's take a look at the leaderboard. At quarterback, Tom Brady 1, Aaron Rodgers 2, Kirk Cousins 3, and they scored 36, 35, and 33 fantasy points respectively. What do you have to say about Kirk Cousins, guys? He's got Dallas on Thursday, on the road, at Arizona, at Philadelphia, Carolina at home, at Chicago, and the Giants, and a huge game yesterday, 33 fantasy points.
He's a must start. Like, I don't think
it's a really tough schedule coming up, though.
There's nothing else to say about him, but he's a must start.
That's probably true, but like, I picked him up this week in one league where I've got Matt Ryan. I'm probably starting Matt Ryan over him at least for the next 2 weeks when he's got at Dallas, at Arizona.
You worried about at Dallas?
Yeah, I don't think they're a fantastic defense, but I think their ability to run the ball, especially against Washington, makes it really tough for quarterbacks to put up points.
I was reading today that the Cowboys and the Redskins have spent the most money in the NFL on offense, and it's showing.
I mean, they
have a good offense.
I was just looking at it. Washington is probably going to have four receivers with at least 800 yards, probably 2,000-yard receivers, and Pierre Garçon is on pace for almost 1,000 yards as well.
Yeah,
it's kind of crazy.
We'll talk about him in a second. Go to the running backs here. Rob Kelly is number one, David Johnson number two, and Le'Veon Bell number three, and those two guys combined for 15 catches. And Bell... He's played seven games. He missed the first three. At this pace, at this rate, over 16 games, Le'Veon Bell would catch 121 passes. Holy cow. So those three guys we either talked about or don't need to be discussed. What about number four? Rashad Jennings, 18 fantasy points, 23 in PPR, 21 carries, 85 yards and a touchdown, and five catches for 44 yards. This is two good games in a row. And three straight games with three or more catches. I might be wrong about the catches. I thought he had three. I wrote down five.
That's right. It's three.
It's three. Okay. So 21 fantasy points in PPR. But anyway, what do you think about Rashad Jennings at Cleveland, baby?
I don't think Paul Perkins is going to take his job just yet.
No, it's not happening.
The Giants are undefeated when Rashad Jennings plays this season.
Really?
Isn't that stunning?
They're 7-3.
Man, yeah. He's. We saw this last year. He got off to a really bad start and then got really strong as the season went on. But you probably feel pretty decent about him as a number two running back right now.
Ugh, I honestly don't.
Okay.
He's a borderline.
I'm sorry for assuming.
He's a borderline number two. I think I had him ranked 23rd this week against Cleveland. He's going to move up probably into the teens somewhere. And then every week after that, he's just right there at the end of the number twos. He's not one of those guys that I feel good about starting as a second running back, but it's also not like I see him as my number two running back and I think I'm going to lose. He's right there. He's the stopgap.
He really had a great finish last year, Rashad Jennings. So I won't rule it out. It's not like he's a worse player now than he was then. When they get healthier on the offensive line, that will help. And having a lead will also help, which they should have next week. It'll be a little bit more difficult after that. Wide receivers, Dez Bryant 1, Pierre Garçon 2, Doug Baldwin 3, thanks to his passing touchdown. But Heath, I know you were very impressed with Dez Bryant right now.
Well, I'm more impressed with Dak Prescott's usage of Dez Bryant. He decided he was going to throw the ball down the field to Dez a little bit, and it's working very well. So there were concerns about whether Dez would just be a number 2 the rest of the way. I don't think that's a concern at all after the last couple of weeks.
Pro Football Focus has him graded as the number 1 wide receiver in the NFL since coming back from his injury in Week 8. And before this game, Dak Prescott, since the bye, was averaging 9.8 yards past the line of scrimmage on his targets, which was a big improvement over early in the season. And that makes sense. You know, it's a young player that they're loosening the reins on now.
Sure.
Dak's one of 5 quarterbacks to average at least 28 fantasy points over the last 6 weeks.
Oh, he's a must start. Like, you're starting him. You might have somebody else with Dak Prescott considering his draft value.
Yeah.
But you're starting him confidently every week,
Rodgers,
right?
Mariota and Breeze are the only ones that have outscored him on a per game basis.
Wow. Over how long? 5 weeks?
Since week 6.
Okay. Yeah, it's very impressive stuff. And Pierre Garçon, though, 41% owned. What do you think here? This is 3 straight games and 4 out of 5 with 6 catches. So good in PPR. And yards in those 5 games now. 77, 22, bad game. 67, 81, and 116. This was only his 2nd touchdown of the season. And DeSean Jackson played. This is just a great game for Cousins. It's the best game for Cousins all year, and arguably his career just played amazing. What do you think about Garçon, guys? 41% owned.
That seems a little bit low, but I think with Jackson, Crowder, and Reed all healthy, it's going to be difficult for Garçon to maintain anything better than number 3 wide receiver production.
So who is your favorite wide receiver? Still Crowder?
Crowder, for sure.
Okay. And Doug Baldwin. I actually tried selling high on Doug Baldwin last week. It was more like a sell for a running back. I wouldn't say sell high, but I needed a running back. I thought, coming off that big game last week with the 3 touchdowns, but this 104 yards, and he did it on only 5 targets, which is very rare for him to have a good game with fewer than 7 targets. He threw the passing touchdown. That helped his fantasy production, but look, they're going to run the ball a little bit better now, I think. However, Wilson's playing great. So what do you think about Doug Baldwin? Is he going to have another really strong finish?
Not as strong as he did last year.
No, not that strong. But is he going to be, you know, must start going forward?
Russell Wilson's clearly back. I think the fact that he just caught a touchdown pass,
yeah,
a 35-yard play, is probably proof. And he looks good running the ball. He's still not actually running the ball a ton, but he's moving around in the pocket really well. I think Russell Wilson's back, and I think he's a top 3 quarterback. So, yeah, I think Doug Baldwin's going to have a good finish to the season.
All right. Tight ends. Jared Cook was your number 1 tight end, guys. 8% owned. He had missed 6 games before coming back last night, having 6 catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown on 11 targets. In the first 3 weeks of the season combined, Jared Cook had 6 catches for 53 yards on 11 targets, as many as he had last night. So was this just kind of a fluke, or are we thinking about buying into Jared Cook?
Throw him in the pile of tight ends who are worth picking up, but I'm not expecting Jared Cook to be a number 1 tight end moving forward. We've been bit too many times.
Chris hates Draft Twitter, and Green Bay loves Draft Twitter. They've got Jared Cook, they've got Kristen Michael, they got Jeff Janis.
Jared Cook he's Kobe Fleener. Like, he's a very impressive physical player with a limited track record and a long career who plays in a good offense, but is hardly the top option. I don't see him having another game this good.
Yeah, and the other similarity as to Kobe Fleener is there are so many mouths to feed on the offense, so would be unpredictable at best, you'd think. By the way, Jamie sent me a tweet via instant message, Pro Football Talk. Per source, Bills running back LeSean McCoy had a procedure on his thumb and will play Sunday, barring something unexpected. So we'll see. I know what you're saying, Chris. It seems a little optimistic, but right now, if you're a McCoy owner, you don't need to be freaking out. Eric Ebron.
Tell Jamie that if LeSean McCoy is going to play with a broken thumb, he should be able to being here with a broken pinky.
You know what? I'm going to tell him that right now. So Heath says, and then I will type
it. I didn't tell you to say. Tell him Isolde said it.
All right, fine. I will say anonymous person on today's podcast says.
That's fair.
Let's see if we can figure it out. All right, so Eric Ebron faced a Jaguars team that had not given up more than 7 fantasy points in a standard scoring league to a tight end all season long, and he had 3 catches for 70 yards, 7 points.
He also had a catch for 61 yards.
It was a big play. But he also had a 1-yard rushing touchdown. I think Ebron's pretty good. We can agree on that. But start or sit Minnesota at home on Thursday.
Minnesota's not great against tight ends. I'll probably start him.
Yeah, I think he's a tight end one.
Okay. By the way, Matthew Stafford completely owns Thanksgiving. It's a shame he's facing the Vikings because he is amazing on Thanksgiving. In fact, on Saturday night's radio show, I decided we are calling it Mattsgiving from now on.
You know, it's interesting because I last night had posted a poll late at night on Twitter about who would you rather have rest of season at quarterback, and it was Stafford, Dalton, which I assume nobody wanted Dalton, and Colin Kaepernick. And people just could not believe that I would put Stafford in the class of those two. And since Kaepernick came back, he's been better than both of them. Like, Stafford's had one good game in his last 6.
He's been frustrating. He sure has. So what would you answer? Kaepernick?
I think I'd rather have Kaepernick.
I can't get over how bad of a passer Kaepernick has been. I think he's had one game with more than 210 passing yards.
Yeah, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's going to get, on average, 40 rushing yards per game, that's like having 310 passing yards.
Right.
So that's fair.
He only needs to throw for 200 yards, and then it's just, does he get 2 touchdowns?
Well, okay, so Stafford, all right, we can talk about that, Minnesota. He's at New Orleans the next week, but we got time to talk about the Thursday game. But it's just interesting how much he thrives on Thanksgiving. All right, so the rest of the show, we'll go over the games. I want to read some emails, though. fantasyfootball@cbsi.com. This is from Scott from St. John's, Newfoundland. Adam, it is an unwritten rule of fantasy football that when you get excited about a CJ, they flash and then they get hurt. So this would be CJ Spiller, CJ Anderson, and now CJ Procise.
It's fair. I like it.
I didn't think I was that excited about CJ Procise.
What, Fedorowicz hasn't gotten hurt yet, I guess tonight.
Yeah, tonight's the night.
Okay.
If CJ Fedorowicz gets hurt, yeah, we're calling shenanigans.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Scott, check back in tomorrow. This is from Travis. He says, Hey, favorite fantasy friends. I wanted to share with you the most oddly fair trade that I've ever seen. This trade was accepted on Thursday morning and won't process until Tuesday now, and everyone will immediately be droppable. Team A sends CJ Procise. Team B sends Giovanni Bernard and Robert Woods.
That's outstanding.
Well done.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Who would have won that trade? What would you have said on Thursday?
I would say the Procise side won that trade.
I would have said Gio and Woods.
And Mark in Connecticut. I decided to go, this is interesting, decided to go zero RB this year. I drafted Julio Jones, Mike Evans, Brandon Cooks, and Tom Brady in rounds 1 through 4. I struggled in the first quarter of the season, but now I'm on the cusp of the playoffs with Rob Kelly, Jordan Howard, Spencer Ware, Devontae Booker, and Deion Lewis. Viable strategy next year or fluke season?
I think it's always a viable strategy.
All strategies are viable.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting is your 4th-round pick. That could have been a better pick than Brady.
Probably.
Because I don't think you'd necessarily be struggling to get into the playoffs right now. On the cusp. Well, he said he's on the cusp of the playoffs, so I guess
No, Adam.
What's that?
What we don't know, and why I hesitate to judge people too harshly on their quarterback picks, is we don't know how many quarterbacks were off the board at that point. Did he take Brady as the 5th quarterback in the 4th round, or did he take Brady as the 10th or 11th quarterback in the 5th? Because that happens.
Well, he took Julio Jones with his first pick, right? Is that what he said?
Uh-huh.
So that means he probably had a late 4th round pick.
I would assume so, but we don't know how many.
Like, how many were off the board, yeah.
At some leagues, everybody has a starting quarterback by the 4th round.
That's true. That's true.
Which is bad, but that's the way that it is.
Yeah, it's very strange because zero RB could definitely work if you look at who's producing right now. But I'm having a nice year. I have a chance in 7 out of 9 leagues to make the playoffs. It's not going to be that high, but I have a chance. Did we win the podcast league, Eth? The Rejects League? So I think we kind of have an outside chance there. I haven't checked the standings, but.
No, we definitely have. We have to continue winning out, but I think we started 1-6 and we're now 5-6.
Okay. So make that 8 out of 9. I have a chance to make the playoffs. I don't have any Le'Veon Bell, any David Johnson, or any Ezekiel Elliott. So, I'm regretting that. And every time, yesterday I was like, please tell me I'm not playing against Le'Veon. Please tell me I'm not playing against David Johnson. And that kind of stinks, but that was my strategy coming in. I just didn't want to invest too early in a running back. I do have a lot of Melvin Gordon, I guess, which is good. But, I guess 0 RB could work, but you gotta be patient. You gotta get a little lucky maybe in the early weeks, cause it sometimes takes a while to pan out.
You know, it was really great in one league where I'm 5-5 fighting for a playoff spot. I went against Le'Veon Bell and David Johnson.
Oh, it was a PPR standard.
PPR.
Oh. Oh, that is brutal.
Yeah.
If you're playing against Le'Veon Bell in PPR, you're done. You got no chance.
I still have a chance. Just need a big CJ Horowitz game.
Okay, well, not gonna happen tonight. He's gonna be out in the first quarter. The rest of the news and notes. Michael Floyd has been battling the flu, so let's just cut him some slack.
His hands are sick.
Yeah, and he's at Atlanta this week. Mostly defense here. Kansas City linebacker D Ford left with a hamstring injury. He entered the game, leading the league in sacks. The Seahawks have 2 injuries in their secondary. Cornerback Deshaun Shedd and safety Earl Thomas are dealing with hamstring injuries, so Jameis Winston, and the Bucks, who can't win at home, will face the Seahawks. And maybe a depleted secondary. Chicago linebacker Leonard Floyd was taken off the field on a stretcher, and we all saw that. Prognosis so far has been pretty positive, so hoping for the best for Floyd. Meanwhile, the Bears' Josh Sitton, their left guard, left with an ankle injury. Eagles cornerback Laiotis McKelvin left with a head injury. Tampa Bay down 2 cornerbacks yesterday, Brent Grimes and Autron Verner, who replaced Grimes. They both got hurt. That's an even juicier matchup for Russell Wilson in Week 12. Tennessee left tackle Taylor Lewan will have an MRI on his knee. Cincinnati cornerback Dre Kirkpatrick left with a knee injury. And I mentioned all those Packers injuries. They came into the game without 2 offensive linemen. They lost a backup, a cornerback, a linebacker, and a safety. So Wentz, we'll see if anybody wants to trust him, but it could be a good game for the Eagles on Monday. Going to the games, guys. Well, you know what? What's the hottest take from you guys on Fantasy Week 11? It's something that we haven't covered, preferably.
Chris, you're the hot takes guy.
Let me pull up my list of hot
takes. Chris actually writes something called Hot Takes.
I know. I enjoy them.
It was extremely lukewarm, so I'm hoping that hot fire takes right now.
It's time to stop waiting on the Cardinals passing game. It's not going to happen.
Okay. I still haven't given up on Michael Floyd.
Roethlisberger isn't a starting caliber fantasy quarterback on the road. Russell Wilson is a top 3 fantasy quarterback.
That's pretty hot.
You know what? Let's talk about the Roethlisberger hot take. You say not starting caliber on the road. This was a game that was affected by weather. Can we give him that? Because at Indianapolis this upcoming week.
True, and it's also true that Ben's barely been a starting caliber quarterback over the last 3 years on the road.
I know.
Like, I don't know who his road games the remainder of the year. He's at Indy?
At Buffalo.
And at Cincinnati.
Yeah, so, I mean, the at Indy one. Specifically.
He's got one multiple touchdown game on the road so far this season. He's got 2 with 0 touchdowns. He does not have he has 1 300-yard game on the road. His number, I think he averages.
So you're benching him against Indianapolis this week?
No, I'm starting him against Indianapolis this week.
So you don't even believe your own hot take?
No, I don't.
Okay. that was time well spent.
It's inside.
You know? How about Malcolm Mitchell just took Chris Hogan's job?
Oh, interesting.
That might be true. That's one of those, like, potentially true, not relevant.
I don't know. Everybody thought Chris Hogan was going to be number 3 wide receiver.
Nobody thought that.
Dave and Jamie thought he was.
Well,
Malcolm Mitchell, 498-1. He's the
Chris
deep threat
Hogan's
in this
had,
offense
Chris
now.
Hogan's had, what, 2 good games? So between the 2 deep threats, they've had 3?
Yep. This is somewhat of a fluky play for Malcolm Mitchell.
Yeah.
That touchdown he had.
A long touchdown. That was not even like a deep ball, right?
Shocking, really, no. That Martellus Bennett had a bad game when we all thought they were going to go to the tight end in this game.
In all seriousness, that was pretty shocking to me.
I agree. It's just that nothing should ever be shocking coming from the Patriots.
I was pretty convinced he was going to have a huge game. That was a real letdown.
I had him as a top six tight end.
Yeah, it was tough. All right, Washington 42, Green Bay 24. Any thoughts on this game, guys? I don't even know where to start. Just had a lot.
I'm going to go ahead and drop Ty Montgomery. I think he's the best running back on the team, but I don't think it matters.
How do you feel about James Starks?
It is. Hold on. Okay. Ty Montgomery did have a touchdown in this game.
He did.
An almost touchdown.
It was a touchdown.
It was an almost touchdown.
He got in.
Does he have a touchdown?
No.
Okay.
It was arguably more of a touchdown than Jordy Nelson's touchdown.
That's 100% true.
Yes.
That was not a touchdown.
Like, but you know the rule. If you can stay on your feet, it's okay if they knock the ball out of your hands. If you fall down, then it's not a
catch. But he tucked it away. He tucked it away.
It's better to not argue about it.
If he had not...
You'll never... It just causes anxiety and stress.
There's no argument. He stayed on his feet. Stay on your feet. It's a catch.
It helps when you're not going to the ground. What surprised me was that apparently the league explanation was that would have been... So Chris Collinsworth and Mike Tirico were kind of saying that if that play had occurred in the middle of the field and not the end zone, it would not have been a catch. But the league said it actually would have been a catch and a fumble.
There's no way that would have been a fumble in the middle of the field.
That's an incomplete pass anywhere but in the end zone. And it's an incomplete pass next week if the exact same thing happens with a different receiver.
Well, for the Jordy Nelson owners, they were very appreciative. Do you feel good about James Starks? I keep mentioning that he has been historically better in the passing game, and they do like the way he runs the screen. His receiving touchdown was ridiculous. I don't know what the hell happened to the Redskins there.
The worst defensive plays I've seen all year.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. What do you think, though?
Borderline number two, right there with Rashad Jennings. I'd probably rather start Jennings in a standard and maybe Starks in a PPR.
Okay.
Now, this coming week, Jennings has got Cleveland, so that's not true, but the rest of the year.
So, DeSean Jackson, 55% owned. Do you see a need to own him? He could have had two touchdowns. He's wide open for a second in this game.
I mean, he should probably be closer to 70%.
There's a bunch of guys like Marquise Lee that are, you know, he's in that range, I think.
It's clear that the Packers have become one of the best matchups for a quarterback now.
Yes.
And receivers. Pittsburgh 24, Cleveland 9. Pittsburgh had the ball for almost 34 minutes, Cleveland for about 26 minutes. Anything you guys want to talk about here? And let me go to Ladarius Green first, 22% owned. He only played 8 snaps, 50 fewer than Jesse James. So are we done with Ladarius Green before it even started? 60 fewer than Jesse James.
Yep, you can drop him. But I do think people will drop Eli Rogers for kind of the same reason, because he didn't have a good game. I believe that Eli Rogers was more of a product of the wind and the situation, and he's going to be a borderline number three, maybe even better next week at Indianapolis. So if he gets dropped, or if you need to pick somebody up off the waiver wire, I'd rather pick up Rogers, I think, than probably either one of the Bengals receivers.
Okay. I mean, we're at the point of the season where whatever your next matchup is might just be the best thing that you can look at on the waiver wire. Like, looking at long-term...
Right.
It doesn't really matter, unless, like, 8-2.
Now, how did you end up feeling about the weather in this game? Did you downgrade the Steelers enough? Were you surprised at the impact that it had?
It looked cold.
I dropped Ben on Sunday morning to number 10 quarterback, so not far enough, because I think he was, like, 25th. But it's probably as far as I would have considered dropping him. I dropped Antonio Brown to, like, number 3 or 4 wide receiver, but that meant putting A.J. Green ahead of him, so that didn't work out so well. Mm.
Or Odell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I dropped Odell too, because I thought the wind there was supposed to be just about as bad as it was in Cleveland.
There are some days.
There was all this concern about the wind in Cleveland, and it ended up being a concern,
right.
But right before kickoff, the wind had died down completely there.
Wow. Yeah, some days you don't even check your FanDuel lineup, you know, there's no point, because I started A.J. Green and Antonio Brown, so.
Yeah.
There's just no point. I'm going to check it out because I did start Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see. Maybe I can cash in the 50-50.
Oh.
Okay, Isaiah Crowell. Yeah, he's no. No.
Forget about it.
Okay.
Either of them.
Eagles 26, and the Seahawks, I put 15. That can't be true because I know they won. Was it 26-15 Seahawks? Is that what it was?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. So I got the score wrong. Seahawks won the game, and Jordan Matthews had 10 targets. Four straight games with 10 targets or more for Jordan Matthews, guys.
Yeah, it's just difficult when those targets are so close to the line of scrimmage.
Well, he's still pretty reliable. Only one time, but reliable in PPR, I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
He's a number three.
Yeah.
Probably a number two this week against the Packers. Same for Ertz.
How encouraging was Zach Ertz? 6 catches, 35 yards, and a touchdown. Only 35 yards, but 6 catches and a touchdown on 11 targets at Seattle.
Had a touchdown.
I'm glad they're throwing him the ball.
Had an almost touchdown on a screen, I believe. That's one thing. I'd like to see them use him downfield a little bit more. He's a good downfield
player. That would require
player.
Carson Wentz throwing downfield.
That's a problem. Yeah, Carson Wentz has, I don't know if he's regressed or the league's caught up to him, but yeah, he hasn't been very good lately.
Okay, New England 30 and San Francisco 17. Any major takeaways that we haven't talked about here? You want to talk more about Kaepernick at Miami, at Chicago, Jets, at Atlanta, at the Rams, and home against Seattle?
I almost kind of think the matchup doesn't matter with him because you know he's going to get garbage time.
Yeah.
And he's either going to run the ball or throw the ball. He is the number 10 quarterback since he took over as the starter in fantasy football.
And like
on a per game basis.
He's got a pretty high floor. He's got 15 points in every game.
Right.
Yeah.
I think he's making Vance McDonald semi-relevant, right, in the same mold as like a Jared Cook.
Would you drop Bortles for Kaepernick?
I would rather have Kaepernick than Bortles. Yes.
Okay.
That's going to depend entirely on matchup for me.
Okay.
Who does Jacksonville play this week?
Buffalo on the road, I believe.
And Kaepernick goes to Miami?
Yeah.
I think I'd rather have Kaepernick.
It's a long trip for Colin Kaepernick against the hottest team. Well, not the hottest team. I had a great sports weekend, by the way. All three of my favorite NFL teams won yesterday. Not to mention...
Vikings got back on track?
Vikings won, Dolphins won, and the Giants won. Not to mention my NBA team won, and my college football team, and my college basketball team. This was a tremendous sports weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good stuff. But I still haven't gotten a Nintendo. Indianapolis 24, Tennessee 17. This was the bonanza. And for a fairly low-scoring game, I think it was still a pretty solid bonanza. The only players that disappointed were the tight ends.
Not the Titans.
Not the Titans, the tight ends.
Yeah,
I guess DeMarco Murray got the receiving touchdown, so he wasn't a disappointment either. Jack Doyle.
That was a nice play.
Jack Doyle was probably a disappointment for those people that streamed him.
Well, Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
3 fantasy points. But
that was a nice play by DeMarco Murray on that receiving touchdown. He's a good receiver.
We did confirm Delanie Walker is, in fact, a tight end.
Yeah. Well, okay, a couple things I find interesting in this game. First of all, Dante Moncrief. Very touchdown dependent. He has not had more than 64 yards in a game yet. And a touchdown in 5 of 6 games, that's great. But
just scoring touchdowns, though.
He is, and I buy that he's going to be a good touchdown guy. I don't buy that he's going to be 5 out of every 6 games, but he was last year, and he's been a red zone target for Luck. I'm a little disappointed, though. He's not really breaking out. Like, fantasy production's been good, but you know what I mean? With just the yards, that's all it is. The yards that have not been there for Moncrief.
The yards have never been.
I wrote about Rishard Matthews just to kind of say I was sorry about him today because he is, I think, confirmed a number 2 wide receiver. The problem is he's a number 2 receiver for 1 week against the Bears, and then he has a bye in the Broncos.
Mm.
So I don't know how much it's going to matter, but you start him this week.
Yeah, Dante Moncrief has 400-yard games in his career.
Yeah, okay, but I'm going to do this with you every time. When you're taking like a young guy who's never really had the opportunity to break out, And you're talking about his past, I'm going to say it doesn't really matter to me. I was expecting him to take the leap.
It does matter, because we expected him to do something he's never done.
Well, yeah, that's what third-year receivers do.
Sure, but it's also, like, it shouldn't be a surprise that he hasn't broken out.
I mean, no, it shouldn't be a surprise, because you're taking a leap of faith that he's going to be a breakout guy. I mean, that's kind of the point of the breakout.
I understand.
Do you, Chris?
I'm just saying that, like, we tend to, when we do this with the breakouts, we tend to focus on the ones that hit. But, a lot of them are going to miss.
Yeah, and he's not exactly a miss, you know, he's been worth starting.
Yeah.
It really comes down to this, like, I talk about Luck all the time. Luck's been fine. You start Luck, you're fine. He has not really put your fantasy team on his back and carried you to a victory. He hasn't, I think he's had one 30-point game, Andrew Luck.
Sixth or seventh among quarterbacks in fantasy scoring, right?
Yep.
And I feel like he's probably been like sixth or seventh every single week.
Right. He's had two. He had 43 in week one. He had 33 in week seven. And this was such a good matchup. In fact, he had 33 at Tennessee in week seven. So 22 points here. And he's usually 22, 25 points. Usually get that from him, but I want more. And, yeah, I'll start him. He's going to be really good. But I guess, yeah, you know, I think Heath, you've been on this about sixth quarterback.
That's what he is. Okay. Now, the difference is I was right about where Andrew Luck was going to finish. I was just wrong about all the quarterbacks that were going to be in front of him.
Yeah, well,
not all of them. Works. Like Brady, Rodgers, and Breeze, but Mariota and Ryan, I didn't expect.
All right. Giants 22 and the Bears 16. People might be a little worried about Jeremy Langford getting that goal line touchdown. Are you?
No.
No, I think Howard was just tired.
Yeah.
Or being punished, because on the play before that, I thought he should have scored. He came around the right end, and Matthew Coca was in there watching the games with us in the green room and tried to explain to me that he slowed down because he was changing the ball from his inside hand to his outside hand. But it looked like Howard just thought he had the touchdown and let up and started jogging and then got tackled.
Well, regardless, he had another good game. He looks like a very good running back. Mm-hmm. And hooray for Jordan Howard. This thing is an easy question, but I'll ask. Jordan Howard or Rashad Jennings rest of season?
Howard.
Jordan Howard or Thomas Rawls rest of season?
Howard.
Yes, because of schedule.
Okay. Sterling Shepard, another guy who's kind of touchdown dependent. So this is my favorite stat of the week. I gave it out on Friday at like the 58-minute mark, so I don't know how many people heard it, but Sterling Shepard had between 6 and 8 targets every week beginning week 2 through week 10. So every game but one. Until, of course, yesterday. But I looked at every wide receiver that had between 6 and 8 targets against the Bears, and I think only 2 of them had double-digit fantasy points out of 10. So I wasn't expecting a huge game from Shepard. He gave you 11 points. But he got 11 targets yesterday. That was a season high. Beckham had a sort of a quiet game. This is 7 straight games with 50 or fewer yards for Sterling Shepard, but 3 straight games with a touchdown. So how do you feel about him?
He's a number 3.
Yeah, I don't feel great about starting him. It is Odell Beckham has 5 or fewer fantasy points, I believe, in 5 games this season.
Mm-hmm.
He had 7 in his first 2 combined.
Yeah, you know, 50 or fewer yards, actually fewer than 50 in 3 of his last 4 games. 6 games this year for Beckham with 56 or fewer yards. That happened only 4 times in 15 games all of last season. And he had a stretch last year of 6 straight 100-yard games. He just went off. I don't know if that's going to happen this year.
So he's got, in 3 games against Baltimore, Philadelphia, and Cincinnati, he's got like 70% of his fantasy points for the whole year?
Yeah, but he's still, I don't know about that.
He had 34 against Baltimore.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah, it's possible because of that game.
He had 16 against Philly, so that's 50. And he had 15 against Cincinnati, so 65. I don't know how many he has in the year.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a good point. But he also had, he had 12 against Washington, 11 against Green Bay, and he's been really disappointing other than that. So do you think Beckham is still a top 5 wide receiver rest of season?
Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't been a top 5 wide receiver so far this season.
He's been pretty close.
Because A.J. Green got hurt, I'd say I'd rather have Julio, I'd rather have Evans, I'd rather have Brown.
Would you rather have Jordy Nelson? Would you rather have Larry Fitzgerald? Those are guys that are actually ranked up there in the same.
I'd rather have than Nelson or Fitzgerald.
It's Hilton, Jordy, and Beckham right there in that tier.
Yeah, I was thinking Hilton was the next guy with him.
I think he's a borderline top 5 guy.
Yeah, gosh, looking at the top receivers, man. Evans, Julio, Brown, Green, Hilton, Nelson, Beckham, Cooks, Baldwin, Terrell Pryor, Larry Fitzgerald, Mike Wallace, Devontae Adams.
Running back's been better than wide receiver this season.
Yeah, no doubt.
At the top, once you get down to like 20s, wide receiver takes over, but yeah.
Minnesota 30, Arizona 24. Kyle Rudolph had a touchdown call back in the first quarter, and then Adam Thielen caught a touchdown to finish the drive. Now, Stephon Diggs was shadowed by Peterson, so that explains that, but there was an ESPN report just before the game that said Thielen was going to get more involved, and he had five catches, caught all five of his targets, 65 yards and a touchdown. This is two straight games for the touchdown. What?
When they shadow Stephon Diggs with Patrick Peterson, and he and Cordarrelle Patterson both still get more targets than you, that's not more involved. I don't buy it at all.
Okay. Yeah. Detroit 26, Jacksonville 19. Any takeaways from this game, guys?
Do we start thinking that Chris Ivory is useful again?
Yes. Thank you. If TJ Yeldon's out this week, especially.
Yeah, if Yeldon's out, but what if Yeldon's not out? I did not realize that Ivory is a terrible fumbler. I knew he had a fumble problem, but this is ridiculous. Four this year, four last year. He's got a huge problem. He fumbled again yesterday. So Ivory, if Yeldon doesn't play, I mean, this was really encouraging. Six catches, 75 yards. But if Yeldon does play, are you going to feel comfortable starting either guy ever?
If Yeldon doesn't play, I think he can be a borderline number two. If Yeldon plays, I think they're both. I think Ivory's better, but I think neither one's more than like a desperation flex play.
Admittedly, I did not see a lot of the Chris Ivory's production through the air. So I have to ask you guys, he had six catches for 75 yards. That's more receiving yards, three times the receiving yards he had all season. Did he have one long catch?
I'm not sure.
He had a 22-yarder. That was his longest.
Two 22-yarders. That's so weird. Like, he's never been good at catching the ball out of the backfield.
No, but if they're going to have to throw the ball, he can get three or four catches a game.
All right, Buffalo 16, Cincinnati 12. Yeah, we got this game.
That was gross.
Tyrod Taylor was disappointing, though, with only 7 fantasy points. What?
Yep.
We liked him this week. Comments? Yeah.
It was the desperation game for Cincinnati, except they lost their two best offensive players, so they couldn't score enough points to win.
They lost their two? Oh, well, Gio played most of the game, didn't he?
I would say yes. Not all the game, but most of the game.
Okay. Yeah, Gio had 12 touches. Dallas 27 and Baltimore 17. Steve Smith with a predictably huge game. Dave loved him this week. Everybody liked him.
Really surprised at that. I didn't get why, like, because I'm doing the chat on Saturday, on mm-hmm. Sunday morning, and I see that you guys all had him as, like, I think you guys all had him as a top 10 wide receiver.
No.
No?
No.
Top 20. Dave had him 10th in PPR, I think. Slot receivers against the Cowboys every single week.
I guess, yeah. He was really good. I was surprised to see that.
I mean, almost every week, the leading receiver against the Cowboys is a slot receiver. So, Jamison Crowder, light it up on Thursday. Anything else from this game, guys?
He did not, because he got his 1,000th catch, right?
Yes.
Game. And he did not get into his car and drive off, so that's encouraging that he'll probably play the rest of the year.
thoughts on Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon?
Kenneth Dixon's better. He's faster.
I don't think it matters.
West did a nice job. Like, they said they wanted to get Dixon more involved, and I guess he got 40% of the carries in this game.
They ran 14 times, the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not a lot of running here. Here's what Dallas does. Dallas had the ball for 35 minutes and 39 seconds. Baltimore for 24-21, and they were at the end of the game playing from behind. So it was not a game that lent itself to running. West had a really good first half, was invisible in the second half.
Dallas is a tough matchup, not because they're a great defense, but just because you're not going to have the ball, and a lot of the times you're going to be playing from behind.
They've been a really tough matchup for running backs.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks are usually behind, so they throw it plenty.
Tampa Bay 19 and Kansas City 17. And I think I mentioned this, but Spencer Ware, again, Kansas City did not have the ball a lot. They had the ball for slightly more than Baltimore had it in their game, another lopsided time of possession game. What are your thoughts on Doug Martin, guys? He's averaging less than 3 yards per carry right now.
Didn't look good at all, but looked better in the passing game than, and they don't really have somebody else to throw it to, so I think he ought to be able to have success that way.
Yeah, I think he's a borderline number one running back.
Just because of opportunity?
Yep.
Martin or Gurley, rest of season?
Martin.
Yeah, I'd say, it's so tough.
It is?
Because like Chris talked about, this week's matchup weighs so heavily on that. And this week, Gurley plays the Saints, and Martin plays the Seahawks. So
that's fair.
Martin's 10 fantasy points behind, probably, to start.
Well, plus, Gurley's got the Niners in week 16.
But Martin gets the Saints twice in the playoffs.
That's true.
But it's 15. No, it's 14 and 16. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Probably Martin, but they're both borderline number ones the rest of the way.
I can't believe you're putting them in the same class right now with how bad of a year Todd Gurley has had.
Gurley had his two longest runs of the season yesterday.
Do you think that is, what do you think is the cause of that? Do you think that has anything to do with Goff?
No.
Yeah,
no, I didn't think the Dolphins defense was as good as they had played recently, and I thought they kind of benefited from the fact that the Dolphins offense was able to control the ball when their offensive line was playing so well.
The Dolphins defensive line is exceptional. But if you can get past that, they're not great. They're missing Rashad Jones in the secondary, and he's the guy that you would expect to make plays in the second level against the running game. So, you know, Todd Gurley got past the defensive line once and got a 24-yard touchdown out of it.
And
it was his longest run of the season.
Doug Martin's basically had Todd Gurley's season while missing half the season due to injury.
Yeah, like low yards and...
Right, but they both get a bunch of volume, and you hope they score a touchdown.
I think Martin's been better, though, because he's been double-digit fantasy points in 3 or 4 games, right?
No.
No? Not week one?
He had 9 fantasy points in week one.
Okay, 9 or more, then.
Then 2, then 10.
So he left the one with 2 early, right?
So he hasn't had more than 10.
He hasn't had more than 10. He's had 9, 2, 10, and 10.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, that's a startable running back, but...
That's Lamar Miller.
Yeah. And Todd Gurley.
I think that's...
Martin plays in a much better offense than either one.
Right. And I think the thing with Gurley, like, I'm going to look. How many... Let's just guess. We're going to end the show on this. How many games in standard scoring has Todd Gurley scored 10 or more?
Well, 9 is Martin's thing.
He's 9 or more. 9 or more.
I'm going to say 6.
I'll say 4. Chris?
I said 3, which probably...
You were right!
3.
3.
Okay. Well, this once again depends on your scoring system.
I said standard.
If you use decimal scoring in standard, it's
fine. Come
on. Get out of here.
Come on.
Decimals.
He said standard scoring. Words matter.
And hopefully next year, standard scoring is decimal
matter.
Scoring. That's
hot take. Hot take of the day. Heath doesn't listen well, and that's it.
Just play point per yard.
Decimal scoring should be
I agree. We should do more decimal scoring. That's it for today's show. I want to thank Heath and Chris and all of you for listening. Back tomorrow with the Waiver Wire. See you later.